Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you an apple and a plum and an apricot or two. Hey.
Welcome to Food for Thought. Join us for a thought-provoking glimpse into the world of the food that we savor. Meet the women and men who are growing it, foraging for it, raising it, cooking it, and who share it with the rest of us. Today's guest is Brian Duty. Brian is the owner of Pacific Flake, an artisan sea salt company right here in Humboldt County. How did you first get started and interested in making salt?
Well, I saw someone else doing it up in Oregon, and I was quite fascinated by the whole process. So it started just in the kitchen for me. Then from there, it grew to the backyard. And then I realized I wanted to do this for a living. So I put a business model around it and have slowly been scaling my production ever since. And it's been quite a fascinating process of making salt and learning the history of it.
And you didn't start here in Humboldt County. You started down in Loch Lomond?
Yeah, that's correct. I started in Lake County, and I was originally trucking my water from Bodega Bay, 3 or 4 hours inland. Started there, and then as I started to grow, I realized I needed to get on the coast.
And now you're here in Humboldt, and you found a really good location to do this. What is your location now for making salt?
So I'm at the Old Samoa Pulp Mill, which is now the Port Authority Business Park. It was sort of a year-long journey to find a place anywhere along California coast that would allow such a production facility to exist. And then when I met the people at the Port Authority, they welcomed me with open arms and had a great spot for me, and been making salt here for about 3 or 4 months now.
Uh-huh. And you're nice and close to the coast.
Yeah,
good
right
access
on the bay.
To water.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So how do you get your water?
So what I do is I have a pump out at the end of the dock, and then I pump it in on incoming high tide, so it's nice and clean. From there, I pump it into my holding tanks, let it settle, because there's a lot of floating things in seawater. And then from there, I pump off the top, and then take it into my evaporation kettle, boil off the correct amount to get the right salinity levels. From there, I move it into my crystallizing troughs and crystallize the salt over a period of about 15 hours or so. From there, I rake it out, drain it, dry it, and you get all natural, clean, nothing added sea salt.
It's a beautiful thing. I mean, it's like the purest snow you've ever seen. These mm-hmm. crystals are gigantic, mm-hmm. and they just lay really flat and beautiful. It's a really interesting process to watch. So you're right down there next to Taylor Seafood. And so that's, you know, kind of a really nice location for you down there, because you're right next to a company that really depends on high water quality for their seafood company. How has that worked out for you?
It's worked out really well. Through the oyster company right there, Taylor Shellfish, I've been able to talk to them and just learn more about the seawater and the surrounding area. They've been doing it for a very long time there. So it's been nice to get good readings, know what's actually in the water, and to know I get a sure, clean product.
So your business there at the industrial park, that fit in with a business model that they were looking for that area. They were looking for somebody to use the water. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, so when I was first looking for places, and I contacted the real estate agent, he was saying, oh, well, this facility is currently under county ordinance, has to be a seawater-based business. And I was like, that's me. And so I told him my story and what I was doing. He was like, wow, I think there's really something here, because I actually sourced the water directly. It was a really good fit for fitting right in there at the industrial park.
Uh-huh. And what sorts of things are in seawater? What sorts of impurities are in there that you have to work on filtering out?
The incoming seawater will have a lot of calcium and some magnesium in there, which generally gives salt a little bit of a bitter taste or an aftertaste sometimes. During my boiling process, a lot of that's removed out of the water itself, and the end result is you can get a softer, sweeter salt, some would say. There's a lot of, you know, from planktons to chlorophyll to many different types of impurities that are in there is removed during the boiling process. So. Even though there is a lot in seawater, a lot of the elements remain because it's only in the boiling point, so okay. It's able to survive.
And how is this different from, like, the majority of the salt that we see on the shelves?
So I do a fire-evaporated salt, which is quite a bit different from a solar salt or a mine salt. Solar salt generally has everything included in seawater, simply in a concentrated all the way down to whatever's left, which is the salt. and everything else that is caught with it. And a mine salt is settled in many different layers in the bedrock, and they just grind it all up and call it one salt and just ship it to America and call it salt. And that can have from a sodium layer to a sulfur layer to all different kinds of layers of stuff they just grind up and ship to us. Where what I do is I really just get the cream of the crop, basically, and just get the first crystallization right as it comes out of the trough. And so you get good, perfect snowflakes that are really bright white.
Yeah. And like you said, no bitter flavor, just a pure salt flavor on your tongue when you put that crystal on there. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have any of those off flavors that other salts can have, and no anti-caking agents mm-hmm. or anything like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a pure product. How did you get the equipment to make sea salt? I mean, it seems like you just don't hear about people doing this sort of thing.
Yeah, so I started with a pot in the kitchen for doing just very small batches, trying to figure out what I was doing. And then from there, I went with like a small brewery system in the backyard to basically just evaporate water and crystallize on a very small scale. Then when I finally got my facility, I went to a brew house maker, and I was able to tell him exactly what I needed, and he was able to make it for me all out of three or four stainless food grade equipment. So.
And you just drew out what you wanted, and then he was able to make it?
Yeah, so basically I told him, I said, hey, I need to evaporate a whole bunch of seawater. And he was like, nobody ever heard of that before. Like, why are you doing that? And so I had to tell him my process and kind of what I was doing and, you know, what the end result was going to be. And we'd sort of work together and designed what was going to work best.
Uh-huh.
So.
And how did you learn, enough to know that this is the way that you should do this?
Well, I've done a lot of research. I've studied everything from the history of salt all the way back since the beginning, all the way through different processes. I've read Civil Era war books on how to make salt at the time because it was very important. And so they had some details in there of how to crystallize salt through fire evaporation because it's really been about 100 years as a history of our country since we made fire evaporated salt. So it was kind of many sources, like three or four sources, and kind of pulled it all together and started to realize kind of what to do. And then after that, I was able to start making a good consistent product after taking so many cues and tips from multiple sources. So.
And is there anybody else doing this? This seems like such a unique thing to do.
It's very unique. I'm the only one in California I've found that is doing this. There's one company in Oregon doing it. And as far as I know, we're the only ones in the country doing a fire evaporated salt.
Uh-huh.
So.
And what are your plans for distribution? I haven't seen it here locally in the stores, but you do have plans to get it in the stores.
I do.
Here.
It is not in any stores locally. I'm hoping by the end of the year, my distribution will reach through Humboldt here. I'm working out of a company out of Eugene, Oregon called Hummingbird Wholesale Distributors. And so I'll be from Bellingham, Washington to North Bay, San Francisco over the next few months. So.
Great. I would think like San Francisco would be thrilled with something like this because mm-hmm. it's a really high-end salt for very high-end restaurants. Are you finding a market with the restaurants?
I am, particularly around the Sonoma region. There's a lot of chefs and a lot of educated salt connoisseurs, I guess, around that region. When I was just at the National Heirloom Food Expo, I had a great review from many San Francisco chefs and the Sonoma region chefs that really took a liking to me being not only a salt maker, but making a good, consistent, clean product. And they were just thrilled that they could actually source local salt for the first time in California.
Great. Well, this is Jennifer Bell, and I've had the pleasure of talking with Brian Duty from Pacific Flake Artisan Sea Salt. Thank you so much, Brian.
Thank you.
And the cakes. Hey, come on to my house, come on.
If you have any questions or comments about this program, please call the listener comment line at 826-6089. You can hear this broadcast again at the KHSU website under archived programs at khsu.org. This program is also available on iTunes. Food for Thought is produced in the KHSU studios located at Humboldt State University. Our engineer is Jessica Eden, and producer is Jennifer Bell. Join us again next Friday on KHSU for another edition of Food for Thought during the KHSU homepage.